Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is now in session. The Honorable Chief Justice Annette Kingsland Ziegler presides. Her silence is commanded.
All right, please be seated. Good morning. The first case today is 22 AP 1233, Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Incorporated versus Town of Buchanan. Could I please have your appearance? All right, good morning. I have a lineup of 25 minutes followed by 35 minutes in rebuttal. That's your understanding as well? All right, let's proceed.
At issue is Section 66.0827 of the Wisconsin Statutes. It is a straightforward, unambiguous statute. It has been on the books since 1915. Simply stated, it authorizes towns, villages, and third and fourth class cities to establish a utility district and direct that the cost of utility district highways, sewers, sidewalks, street lighting, and water for fire protection, not paid for by special assessment, be paid out of a district fund. It then goes on to say that the district fund shall be provided by taxation of property in the district upon an annual estimate by the Department of Public Works in cities and villages, and the town chairperson in towns, and that would be filed by October 1st. The fund is required to be provided by a taxation of property. It says so. It says it shall be provided by taxation of property.
So under your reading of the statutes, could they designate the entire town, in theory, a utility district and just increase, and then the tax levy limit wouldn't matter?
As a moment of clarification, the town of Buchanan did not establish the whole town as a district.
Right, but under your theory, this isn't subject to the tax levy limits, so I'm just playing this out.
In my theory, I believe that all or most of the town could be established as a utility district.
And therefore, the tax levy limits could be exceeded if that happened.
Correct. But what the important point is not so much whether the whole town is the district. It is the nature of the expenditure, and that is the cost of public improvements. For example, the town of Buchanan could special assess any and all parts of the town of Buchanan for paying the cost of public improvement. So I say yes to your question in context.
Thank you.
So in other words, the way to get around the issue here is if I ask you what should it have done, your response is it should have distanced itself from property tax and instead funded under road improvements with a series of special assessments. Is that what you're saying?
It's not a series of special assessments.
With special assessments.
It says that you cannot fund a public improvement or pay the cost of a public improvement that has been paid by special assessment, the cost of which is by special assessment. It excludes special assessments. It is not. And for that reason, it is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand.
Special assessments are not part of the levy limit.
Yes, I understand that. Let me ask the question.
Let me ask
the question directly then. What should the town have done instead of what they did?
I don't think the town should have done anything else besides what they did.
Okay.
I think the town is absolutely correct. I think they followed Section 660827 to the T. I don't think that what they did is providing a service, and therefore I don't think it should be offset from the levy limit.
Okay. Thank you.
Might be the first time they've done everything right. They have here. So, whether you are a strict constructionist, textualist, or something else, the plain language expressly authorized that the cost of public improvements not paid for by special assessment be paid for by a fund provided by taxation. The purpose, I think the purpose of the district should always be kept in mind, and the purpose of the utility district is to fund the cost of public improvements, not general government services, and it says as much. And I think over the history of this state and most states throughout the country, public improvements have always been separate and apart from general government and handled differently, more flexibly and broader in terms of raising money to pay for the cost of public improvements.
Council, why didn't you just do a referenda? And then you wouldn't have all these problems that we have here.
Referendum on raising the tax levy?
The referenda, yes, so that you can, for a specific purpose, like they do with schools all the time when they want to raise the limit.
It was a two-year debate of great study, a number of meetings. There were three choices. One was to do a referendum. One was to do this utility fee. And the other one was to do special assessments. And the utility tax, the utility fee, 1-2-1. The concern about raising the levy limit is that that is permanent. This utility tax was not considered to be permanent. This utility tax was determined to be a method for them to catch up with the road construction and reconstruction. Didn't want it to be ingrained always there. For example, they just reconstructed Emmons Road, a major road in the town. They got a grant from the state for by the way, the road cost $3.6 million for less than a mile. The town got a grant for $2 million and change from the state and federal government. And so it had $1.5 million to pay. And the town did special assess people in the area. They were special assessed approximately $3,000 per property. And the rest of the shortfall needed for the cost of that highway was from the utility tax. And that's how basically they want to use it. And they feel that there's going to be about a 5 or 6 year window that they have to do reconstruction and the redesign, the most expensive part of reconstruction. Then after that, they wouldn't need it.
Okay. So the people had a choice and they chose this mechanism.
By a long shot, 2-1.
Uh-huh. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Carlson, I want to ask you a question about the uniformity clause. As I understand your argument, you do that the fee here, that the uniformity clause applies here. If we find that it does apply here, does the tax utility fee here, does that violate the uniformity clause?
Yes, I believe so. I believe the uniformity clause requires that the taxation be based on value. It's an ad valorem tax, and that a tax that is not ad valorem, that is a general property tax, would violate the
okay.
That is an interesting issue, though, is that Wisconsin, before it was a state, before it had a constitution. The communities, the villages and cities, I guess the hamlets and the settlements, did special assess properties for public improvements. Special assessments in Wisconsin precede the state of Wisconsin. And that happened not only in Wisconsin, but a number. And that's the quote that I provided for in my brief about the Wisconsin Supreme Court case in 1860, first having to deal with what the heck is a special assessment and how does it fit into the taxation system with respect to property taxes, uniformity. And they just say that this is basically a tradition, a use that is different. It is still a taxation on property. That is a special assessment. It's still a taxation on property, but it is a different kind of taxation on property. It's more related to public improvements and benefits from public improvements and not for general services like defending against the Spanish Armada or building a line. And that's basically the distinction that I am relying on in my brief, that it's not like, holy cow, that this taxation on property, this has the same general legal roots. This statute 660827 has the same legal roots as a special assessment. Still a tax on property, but it need not be on value. It can be on benefit, and therefore it does not violate the uniform. I believe that the town of Buchanan has followed the statute religiously. And as the way we have set this up, that we have avoided being a, by providing services, and we have avoided a uniformity clause problem. Again, the purpose of the district is to fund public improvements. It is not a special assessment. It says so. It can only fund the cost of public works not paid for by special assessment. Moreover, Section 660703, the statutory provision for special assessments, does not authorize a utility district to levy special assessment. A district, as I read the statutes, is not authorized to levy special assessments. It is not an ad valorem general property tax. It says as much by its provisions. A utility district by law is not a taxation jurisdiction for general property tax purposes. The district cannot levy a general property tax. The funds raised by taxation of property in the district must be kept in a separate account. The funds cannot be deposited in the general fund like an ad valorem general property tax. And the use of the funds are limited to paying for the cost of public improvements as listed in Section 66.0827. And, of course, the cost of those public improvements cannot be paid for by special assessment. The procedures for the taxation of property in the district do not comport with the general ad valorem property tax procedures. The fund is based on annual estimates by the department in charge of public works or the town chair. The procedure is entirely different. These procedures are totally different than Chapter 65, doing a budget, Chapter 70, doing the property tax, Chapter 74, collecting the property tax. I believe that the taxation on property here is special tax, and that is allowable. There are other examples of a special tax. It is recognized and acknowledged in Chapter 74 in the collection of it is, I gave examples in my brief of other statutory authorize a taxation on property, most notably Chapter 41, Chapter 61.46 and Chapter 61.47. Both allow for a tax, again, relating to public improvements.
Counsel, is your position that every utility district created under this statute is not subject to the levy limits? Is that apply broadly across the board, or does it depend?
I think it depends, but I think it's a pretty broad application, but it depends.
Could you expand on that for me?
In the town of Buchanan, undeveloped property is not part of the district. If it is not part of the district, well, undeveloped property is not subject to tax. I'm trying to think of an example.
Well, your brief focused on the distinction between services, right? I want to give you an opportunity to make your best case that the rule of law that we're supposed to apply, because obviously, you know, we need to write an opinion on this. We need, if we agreed with your position or opponent's position, we need to sort of say exactly why we're doing what we're
correct.
Doing. You're arguing that we should look at whether the provision provided is services or not, at least as I understood it. So I want to give you an opportunity to defend that, and respond to the arguments made by your opposing counsel in their brief.
Well, the arguments of opposing counsel are that it's not a special assessment, but if it is, it's an improper special assessment. It's not a general property tax, but if it was, it is unconstitutional. Basically, the argument of my opponent is that there is nothing, this statutory provision is meaningless, that the, quote, taxation on property, it can't be done, that it's dead on arrival, that there is no useful purpose. There's no reason why to have 6608.
Well, let me maybe zero in a little bit on maybe where my question is. I know they make an argument that you can't do what you did anyway under the statute. They also say levy limits and then a uniformity clause. I'm interested just in your answer just on the levy limits issue. So let's suppose just for a moment that for the purposes of my question that this statute could permit the type of thing that the town of Buchanan did here. So I guess I'm wondering, I want to give you an opportunity to defend the idea that if they can, that it's not subject to the levy limits, and how we tell whether something's not subject to the levy limits.
Whether something is not subject to the levy limits depends on whether it is a public improvement or not. And whether it's a public improvement is determinative of not only this property, a tax on property, but public improvement is also determinative of special assessments as well. This whole thing, this $875,000 that was raised by the town of Buchanan for this tax on property, could have been raised by a special assessment, and there would be it would not be counted against the levy limit.
The statutes, though, expressly exclude from the levy limit particular types of expenditures. Road construction costs are not listed. I'm looking at 660602 sub 3E.
Well, I don't know in terms of – I do know that special assessments, money raised by special assessments, do not count against the levy limit.
But I thought you said this is not a special assessment.
It is not a special assessment, but it is in the nature a tax for public improvements, and that it is a tax on property much the same as a special assessment, and it is also not subject to the levy limits like a special assessment.
So wouldn't we expect to see the legislature having included in the exception to the levy limit road construction costs, or more broadly, the establishment of utility districts and whatever that money is spent on, but they didn't.
Well, I think what you're saying is that special assessments would also be subject to the levy limits, and I don't think that's true.
But you concede that this is not a special assessment. So if it's not a special assessment, it's something else.
It's something else. It's a tax to pay the cost for public improvements.
And you acknowledge that that is not one of the enumerated exceptions from or exclusions from the levy limit.
Correct.
Under the statute. Thank you.
Mr. Carlson, I heard you say a little while ago you were relying on 6146 and 6147, I think, for the proposition that
there are other taxes.
There are other taxes. Okay. When I look at 6146 and 6147 and I read those, I see that those statutes talk about villages but not towns, and this
right
here is a town of Buchanan. So do those statutes still apply here?
Well, the town of Buchanan also has village powers.
Okay.
But it is rather odd that the villages, that 6146, 6147, I don't know of an equivalent for cities. I don't know of an equivalent for towns without village powers, but it is. The levy limit does not apply to special assessments. The levy limit should not apply, because they are public improvements, the levy limit should not apply to this taxation on property because, again, it is limited to public improvements. And I believe that the basis for that is that public improvements as a classification of expenditures, generally speaking, automatically provide benefit and value to a property. Your property isn't worth much if you can't get to it, or if you can't get your wheat crop to market without having a fairly decent road. And that is the difference, I think, between what the legislature is trying to do with the levy limits, that any kind of service that was previously paid for by general taxation, and if you want some sort of utility or commission or whatever, that if you're going to take that service expenditure away from the general fund and raise money outside that what that is basically a way of evading the levy limit, and therefore it should be deducted and an equivalent deducted. But I don't think that system applies to public improvements. Public improvements are of a different nature. They're a different animal. They benefit the property, and for that reason, the cost of which can be charged directly to the property. Number of ways.
Council, is it fair to say your argument is that if a town creates one of these utility districts, it could charge, it could impose a tax to pay for all road building and all road improvements, and that would not be subject to the levy limits?
Correct. They could forget paying or doing it by special assessments. And there is a movement afoot to abandon special assessments because it is becoming politically almost impossible to do special assessments. The cost of road construction has been going up tremendously, 20%, I think, over the last 3 or 4 years. Town levy limits are allowed to increase by only like a, or basically the growth in your assessed value, which is pretty meager throughout Wisconsin. The average is like 1.1%. And towns, villages, and cities cannot afford to do road work anymore through the general property tax, and they've been buying more on the special assessments, and the special assessment larger. You know, special assessment, a typical special assessment now would be on the order of $25,000-$30,000. That's a tough sell to a homeowner, $25,000-$30,000. Special assessment is also immediately a lien on your property. If you want to refinance your property, get a home equity loan, the title report's going to show a $25,000 or $30,000 lien for a special assessment.
Counsel, I was
and this won't do that. Pardon me. Go ahead.
No, please finish. I thought you were finished.
And this taxation on property eliminates some of the most problematic aspects of a special assessment. It allows a payment shared by more over a longer period of time than a kind of a lottery of, oh my God, I live on this street and it's going to be reconstructed and now I'm going to get nailed with $35,000 of assessment.
I'll wait until
that's, that's my pearl of wisdom. It was probably not worth waiting for.
Hey, your time is up. Thank you very much.
Good morning, and may it please the court. As I said, I'm Lucas Weber, appearing today on behalf of the Wisconsin Property Taxpayers Incorporated, the plaintiff's respondents in this appeal. The town has imposed a tax called a transportation utility fee, or a TUF. It argues that the TUF is like a special assessment, so that none of the restrictions that apply to property taxes will apply to it, but not enough like a special assessment that any of the requirements on special assessments have to apply. What they have done is grab for themselves almost unlimited power to tax their residents. The question before this court is whether that tax is legal, and it is not, for three reasons. The first is that the tax doesn't fit under the statute that they claim it does. The utility district statute calls for the taxation of property. That is not what the TUF is. Second, even if the TUF were a property tax, it would violate statutory levy limits. And third, if it were a property tax, it would also violate the constitutional requirement of uniformity. I'll explain each of those reasons why the tax is illegal in order.
First, I don't want to interrupt your argument, but when you're addressing each of those issues, could you also tell us if you think we need to address each one of them, and if so, why?
Yes, Your Honor. And I do think this court can and should address all three of the issues. First, the statutes do not allow for a transportation utility fee. You won't find those words in the statutes. The utility district statute calls for the fund to be funded by the taxation of property, a property tax. That is, the statute authorizes a property tax, but the TUF is really a predicted use of the roads tax that they apply to every developed property in the town. So I would, take issue with the argument made earlier that the district does not cover the entire town. The district covers the entire town. The tax applies only to the developed properties within the town.
Can these districts cover entire towns?
I don't believe they can, Your Honor.
Why don't you think they can?
Because I think the district itself is contemplated as a subset of a municipal government. It can't be, the district has to mean something, right? The legislature created it. And it can't just be a shadow government that the town can create as a means of just evading statutory levy limits. And so we know that from the context of the statute that the legislature contemplates the statute as something less than the entirety of a municipality. And that's in sub 6 of the utility district statute when it talks about merging municipalities. It says if one district provides something on a municipal-wide basis as opposed to a district-wide basis, that's how it'll handle the transfer of those utility district powers.
So what is the advantage to this district if you can't do anything other than take from money that's already been allocated? What's the purpose?
Yeah, I think the district itself exists as to create and allow for varying property taxes within a municipality where those parcels within the utility district are receiving a benefit from that utility district.
And you don't think that'd be a uniformity violation?
I think within the district they have to be uniform, Your Honor. So within the utility district they would have to be uniform as opposed to properties outside of the district.
But they would always have to comply with the levy limit, is your argument, as I understand it?
Yes, Your Honor. So, as I said, property taxes are based upon the value of property. They are recurring ad valorem property taxes. Property taxes, by default, are assessed and levied according to Chapter 70 of the statutes. Chapter 70 provides that taxes shall be levied under that chapter upon all general property except property that is exempt from taxation. Further, under 70.05 sub 1, the assessment of general property for taxation of the state shall be made according to this chapter unless otherwise specifically provided. There is nothing in the utility district statute that specifically provides for a different means of assessing property. As was just said, the utility district statute allows for the town chairman to determine the amount of the tax, but as far as assessing and actually levying that property, that has to be done according to Chapter 70. Second, the TUF doesn't work under the utility district statute because it levies taxes against both property that is exempt from property taxes and other property. And that can't be. Again, tax-exempt property is not subject to property taxes. And third, even if the utility district statute did authorize the kind of tax that the town has imposed, as I just said, the district itself is improper because it includes the entirety of the town as opposed to just a subset of the town. So the TUF is not authorized and it doesn't fit within the utility district statute. And for that reason, it is unlawful and this court should find as much. The second reason why the TUF itself is unlawful is that it violates the levy limit statute. If it were a property tax, it would violate the levy limit statute. The levy limit statute limits, as this court just said in Brown County versus Brown County Taxpayers Association, the levy limit statute limits the amount that a government subdivision may increase its property tax levy in a given year. And that's how it's generally understood. The property tax levy limit applies broadly. We know from the context of the levy limit statute that it is to be broadly applied. That's what the legislature intended, due to the number of exceptions within the statute. For example, there are special rules for tax increment districts. There are special rules for joint emergency medical services districts. There are no special rules for utility districts. Where the legislature intended for a district's property taxes to be exempt from levy limits in other statutes, it, as we said in our briefing, in Chapter 200, the statutes authorize the creation of a metropolitan sewerage district, and it provides that the taxes imposed in those districts, property taxes, shall not be included in any limitation on county or municipal taxes. Context also shows us that broadly applicable levy limit extends beyond just general property taxes into other types of property taxes as well. For example, there is authorized a bridge repair tax in a separate statute, 82.08 sub 2, and the levy limit statute contains an express exemption under 3E3. This exemption would be unnecessary if the levy limit statute was not intended to cover other property taxes beyond just general property taxes. A utility district is not a separate entity with independent authority to levy taxes. These taxes are levied by the town. The town of Buchanan determines the amount. The town of Buchanan adds them to your property tax bill. They are paid as property taxes. If you don't pay them, they are collected as property taxes against homeowners throughout the town of Buchanan.
Council, is your position that every
everything created under this statute, assuming that it all is all subject to the levy limits, or does it depend on what kind of tax is created or assessment is created underneath it?
Yes, Your Honor. I think the tax that's created, the tax that's allowed to fund utility districts is a property tax, and all property taxes are subject to the levy limit.
Okay, so anytime a town utilizes this statute properly, putting aside whether the town of Buchanan did or did not hear, that would be subject to the levy limit. That's the rule that you would suggest here.
Yes, Your Honor. Yeah, the levy limit, as was said, the levy limit doesn't apply to special assessments because special assessments are not a property tax. They're something different. It has nothing to do with whether it's for a public improvement or not. It has to do with the tax itself. It's a property tax, and a property tax is subject to the levy limit.
Right. Your opposing counsel makes the distinction between services, public improvements. Maybe address that briefly, but just give you an opportunity to address that one more time and why you think that's incorrect.
Yeah, Your Honor, as we explained in our brief, the town has focused significantly on this distinction between services and improvements. I think they misunderstand our arguments and the circuit court's analysis on this issue. As we argued below, and we do before this court, the long list of exceptions to the levy limit statute shows that the levy limit itself was intended to apply broadly. The circuit court echoed those arguments in its decision. As an example, it cited to the services language, the offset for services. I think the circuit court was simply saying that, the legislature clearly intends for whenever the towns and local governments can't simply create another entity to grab taxes as a means of evading their levy limits. And for that reason, I think that the services argument is kind of immaterial here. It's a property tax. Property taxes are subject to the levy limit, and they did not go through the proper Chapter 70 procedures to property tax.
One other follow-up question to that, and I know you haven't gotten to uniformity yet, but typically speaking, the court, if it can resolve something on statutory grounds, does not try to address the constitutional questions. I understand you mentioned in the beginning you would like us to, but put aside what you would like us to do. My question to you is, must we? In other words, if we agreed with your levy limit argument, does that dispose of the case for purposes of your client?
Yes, Your Honor. I think it would. I think, though, that as we laid out in our joint petition for bypass, that the issues raised in this case are issues that are going to keep coming back to this court. And this case presents an opportunity for this court to provide some clarity to towns and taxpayers throughout the state as to how this should be applied. It's here on jointly stipulated facts. These are legal questions that this court can and should be able to reach on this issue. I will say that, this court has said where ambiguity and doubt exist, it must be resolved in favor of the person upon whom it is sought to impose the tax. I think that same logic applies to the extent that the levy limit statute is deemed unclear whether or not it might apply here. I think this court should resolve that issue in favor of the taxpayer, not the tax authority. And for these reasons, the town of Buchanan, as the taxing jurisdiction which has imposed this property tax as a means of essentially violating its levy limit or exceeding its levy limit, and the court should uphold the circuit court's decision on that issue. The third reason why the transportation utility fee is unlawful is because it is a violation of the constitutional requirement of uniformity. Our state constitution requires that the rule of taxation be uniform. This court has said that clause requires the method or mode of taxing real property must be applied uniformly across all classes of property within the tax district. Numerous cases have repeated this basic principle that uniformity applies to all property taxes. We cite in those cases on page 21 of our brief. I won't read them all off for you today. Gottlieb versus City of Milwaukee is really the seminal case here, which outlined several principles for analyzing a tax under uniformity. The first two are that for direct taxation of property, all property must bear its burden equally and on an ad valorem basis. And second, that there can only be one constitutional class. As opposing counsel already conceded, if this court determines this is a property tax, it would plainly violate the uniformity clause.
Going back to what I had asked you earlier, And your answer was that it would have to be uniform within the utility district. Let's just say they were just using the taxes from they didn't violate the levy limit, and they were just allocating the taxes differently. You think that doesn't violate the uniformity clause?
Yes, Your Honor. I think the utility district exists because there's a utility in place, at least in most utility districts, that is serving the utility district. And the purpose of the utility district property tax is to fund the needs of that utility, which is serving that utility district. The properties within that utility district benefit from that utility that's serving them, and so the uniformity clause would apply, would apply within the district, but it wouldn't apply to properties outside of the district. So, in other words, uniformity generally means that real property is taxed according to its fair market value. A tax on property violates the uniformity clause if it is not based on market value or if it creates different sets of classes. City of Plymouth v. Elsner is on point here. There, the court held that the City of Plymouth's charge on electrical service meters violated the uniformity clause in two ways. First, because it charged all residential properties were taxed at 50 cents each, regardless of the value of the home. In that case, they said if your home was assessed at $5,000 or $20,000, it was the same. That violated uniformity. And second, because the city taxed commercial and residential property differently, in that case, residential property at 50 cents a month, commercial property at $1 a month, it also violated uniformity. City of Plymouth is directly on point here. For the uniformity clause analysis purposes, the town does not tax parcels based upon fair market value. All residential properties, regardless of their value, pay the same amount, and residential and non-residential properties pay different rates. And again, the town effectively concedes it cannot meet uniformity requirements. So instead, it just says the uniformity clause here doesn't apply because the TUF is really more like a special assessment. But there's nothing in the statutes that says that anything that's like a special assessment can evade all of the restrictions in place on imposing a property tax. And the TUF doesn't share any of the characteristics of a special assessment. As this court explained in CED Properties versus City of Oshkosh, special assessments are a one-time charge for a special benefit or uncommon advantage which is accruing to property from a discrete improvement project near the property. The TUF is not a special assessment for four reasons. First, the TUF is not based on any calculation or estimate of special benefits that are conferred on properties by any particular project, which violates 66.0703 sub 1. Second, the TUF is not tied to any particular project at all, nor is it a one-time charge, rendering it impossible for the town to comply with any of the statutory procedure assessments. For example, if a project comes in under budget on a special assessment, the town has to refund the difference back to the property taxpayer. Here, there is no opportunity for a refund because there is no project identified which has to be funded with the TUF revenue. The third, the TUF revenue is being used to pay for general infrastructure improvements, and it is well established by this court that special assessments can be levied only for local improvements, not for general municipal improvements. That's from CED Properties. General improvements are funded by general taxes. They must comply with the rule of uniformity. General improvements are one that confers a general benefit that is substantially equal benefit and advantage to the property of the whole community or benefits the public at large. A local improvement, on the other hand, is, although incidentally beneficial to the public at large, is primarily made for the accommodation and convenience of the inhabitants in a particular locality, confers special benefits on those local properties. A special assessment may only be levied upon a property, and this is the fourth reason why it is not a special assessment. A special assessment may only be levied upon a property in a limited and determinable area. Here, again, they're levying this on the entire town. Even argue that's the whole purpose, is to evade not having to do special assessments. They want to put them on the entire town. So it cannot possibly be a special assessment. Indeed, in arguing that it's like a special assessment but doesn't have to follow any of the special assessment procedures, they're just eviscerating the special assessment statute as they are the levy limit statute, and this court should not allow it. And unless there are any further questions, we would ask that the court uphold the circuit court decision on all three grounds.
Okay, then.
Thank you.
Gets back to my original question. Why have this thing? 660827. You can't do anything with it. He says it's not a special assessment, but if it is, it's an illegal, improper special assessment. It's not a general property tax. But if it is, it violates the uniformity clause. There is absolutely no usefulness, no purpose, no reason for any town, city, or village to establish a utility district pursuant to the terms of 66.0827. That is the test before this court. What the heck is this thing for? And it is axiomatic, as far as I understand in the law, that this court is bound to give effect to any legislation that comes before it and to give effect to any provision in that legislation, that this court must give effect to what is taxation of property in 660827. This court must defend the constitutionality of this legislation, and that is the burden on the challenger that this provision or provisions are unconstitutional. The burden is upon them, beyond a reasonable doubt, to prove to you that what has been done by the town of Buchanan is in violation of the Constitution.
One of the purposes for establishing a utility district is to isolate the costs of improvements that are going to benefit certain properties to the properties that would benefit. Of course, this could be done by special assessment, but the utility district is arguably an alternative to that method.
Correct. I believe, generally speaking, again, that the root, legal theory-wise, taxation on a property, it shares with the special assessment. It's not a special assessment. I do not believe that the tax on property has to be based on value. It doesn't have to be based on value in a special assessment. There's no reason why this should have to be based on value. Special assessments are often sometimes on an area-wide basis, sometimes on a front foot, sometimes it's whatever is reasonable, and that's basically what the court decision assessments and methods. It's whatever is reasonable, and in this case, the basis is trips, road usage, and that has already been held by this court to be a reasonable basis on which to quote tax. Taxation on property through a special assessment. So we are not plowing new ground here. We are basically within the confines of existing court decisions and precedent. So again, if you leave this oral argument today, keep in mind the question of why do we have this thing? What is it doing? What is it providing? What is it giving? Every step, every direction, they claim it is either an improper special assessment or a ad valorem, a general property tax. Could the legislature be that stupid to adopt this thing and have this litany of defects as outlined by the Wisconsin property tax? I don't think so. I think it's the straightforward. I like to refer to it as just fix the damn road statute. And I don't think that that's a bad way for you guys to think about it either. Thank you.
Thank you. Interesting oral argument. The court will adjourn and reconvene for the second oral argument when
The courtroom is ready for us.
Thank you.